actually 42% of textile waste in UK landfill is from our homes, from homeware. So that's nearly half, and the rest is fashion textiles. So if you think about how much we know about fast fashion, greenwashing in fashion, all the issues that we're aware of, we don't have that same knowledge and understanding in the interiors industry.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Me and the team get so much joy when we see you guys out there raving about us on social or in lists or in blogs. So it's only fair to repay that by giving a lovely shout out to the person who was kind enough to shout about us. So today's thanks go to, and this is a super fitting one for our last episode of 2024, Barry McKenna from webliveview.com, who named us one of the top seven most popular e-commerce episodes for 2024. Thank you, Barry, for that mention on LinkedIn. Now, in this episode, we are rounding off our little dive into the world of home and garden by talking to two super experienced e-commerce people in the home and garden space. They both got so much knowledge in this area. But we're not talking to them specifically about the businesses they've worked at or the business they run. We're talking about the new group they've set up this year, which is all about helping make the home and garden sector and the interior sector in particular a greener, more sustainable place. It's got a little community for sharing information and sharing ideas. They'll be telling us all about it, but also sharing some of the things they've learned so far and sharing a whole ton of advice on helping you take those steps on that sustainability journey to make your business better, stronger, and more ecological as we go into 2025. So loads of cool stuff. And like a little end of year bonus, make sure you listen to the end of the episode because both our guests are giving us a top tip answer. So you get 8 top tips for the price of 4. Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organise the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guests. Miri Christie is the founder of sustainability consultancy Be Able, and Jules Haynes is the founder at award-winning luxury interiors resale platform Haynes. They both have stacks of brand-side experience on helping e-commerce businesses grow and become more sustainable, especially in the home and garden space, which is what their new venture, The Green Room, is all about, helping the home and garden industry become greener. Hello, Miri.
Hi, Chloe. Really nice to speak to you again.
It's great to have you back, especially talking about this topic. And hello, Jules.
Hi there. Thank you for having us.
So cool. I was so excited when I saw what you two are up to on LinkedIn. It was like, we have to get them on the podcast to talk about this. But before we get properly into the green room, Jules, it's your first time on the podcast. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you end up in e-commerce?
I worked for an online textile firm for about 5 years. And we used to sell fabrics and makeup products, so curtains and cushions, accessories. And my role there, I learned firsthand how much waste there was in the industry. So whether it's from the print process and fabric that's actually rejected because the color's slightly off, or it could be something like making up curtains and you have to pattern match, which means that you have surplus fabric coming off of that. So it was a moment probably in about 2019 where I had an idea that there should be a beautiful resale platform, an e-commerce platform that could help brands rehome their surplus. And I finished my maternity leave and I wasn't working for that company anymore. And I decided to start the Hanes Collection, where we rehome fabrics, but actually it sort of evolved quite quickly into be wallpaper, accessories. We do hardware, tiles, everything now, but there's just so much waste in our industry. And I feel really passionate, you know, our core mission is to help reduce waste in the industry. So that's how, yeah, I got into building my e-commerce platform.
Very cool. And Miri, obviously you've been on before talking about what you were doing with Ochre and their sustainability journey, but how come you've now kind of pivoted and created your own consultancy, Be Able? How did that come about?
Well, as you know, Chloe, my background was always kind of marketing, brand and PR and the importance of communications. And as I got over the last few years, as I've transitioned into sustainability, I've gained a lot of experience and wanted to really use that to focus on simplifying the whole idea of sustainability and working with SMEs across all different industries, partly because the SME market was struggling to A, understand how to do a lot of the sustainability in a way that the corporate world has been doing for some time. But equally, they don't have the resources often in order to, or the knowledge in-house. And obviously, cost is obviously a big driver to preventing some progress. So I wanted to set up Be Able to really help support a flexible consultancy to help support smaller businesses and medium-sized businesses in order to build robust strategies and help them to implement it. Often it's the implementation side of these, which is really challenging. But if you can set yourself up with really strong, solid goals and a really good direction for the next 5 to 10 years, then, you know, that's what makes the difference. Obviously, reporting and all those sort of things as well is important. But that's why I was kind of inspired to try and take my experience and work across multiple different, you know, areas, industries, and to achieve as much impact as possible.
Very cool. Well, I think we all realise it's brilliant and kind of amazing to have the two of you here for one episode. So how come you came together to create the Green Room? First off, what is the Green Room? I gave a very terrible introduction of it in my teeny tiny intro. So what is the Green Room for those listening?
So the Green Room is a space for the interiors industry. And Jules and I had a vision, which was to create a community of interiors brands that would embrace sustainability, champion innovation, and collaborate to solve the critical social and environmental challenges that we face. And I think we were inspired. We both met. We both agreed that education and inspiration was how to help this industry to move. There didn't appear to be anything in the interiors industry that was getting people together to help to show them how to do it. Lots of questions, lots of people not knowing where to start. And we thought, well, if we were to get people together and to create a safe space that people could come to, ask questions, we could deliver some education and help them to address some of these pressing questions. That's what really set up was our idea, inspired us to set up the Green Room. And in that is, you know, what does sustainability mean? What are the challenges? You know, how do you overcome them? How do you shift the mindset of our consumers, which is really important to try and get them to embrace this journey? And how do we help solve our industry, solve some of the problems that we're creating?
I don't know why anyone in homes and interiors in the UK would not want to be part of it and actually be following you on Instagram wherever they are in the world. But Jules, what was the reason you were so keen to get this movement going? Because we were talking before we hit the record button, and it occurred to me as I was prepping for this that fashion and beauty talk a lot about this, but you barely hear about sustainability in the home and garden and interior sector. So did that feed into why you wanted to create the Green Room and bring the industry together?
Yes, definitely. Firstly, when I started the Haynes Collection, I just presumed that people would understand what I was doing off the bat. And so when I found 4 years ago that people, I had to really explain to people why there was a real problem in the industry, why there was so much watch waste. I actually did a lot of research that I thought could support what I was banging on about. And actually there's not very much research because, as you said, it's not a big thing. There's lots about fashion, which is great. And I'm always looking at the fashion industry for information and even just ideas about how they're tackling the fashion industry waste and then looking onto what we can do in our industry. But I did come across a stat that talks about the amount of textile waste in UK landfill. And actually 42% of textile waste in UK landfill is from our homes, from homeware. So that's nearly half, and the rest is fashion textiles. So if you think about how much we know about fast fashion, greenwashing in fashion, all the issues that we're aware of, we don't have that same knowledge and understanding in the interiors industry. And with 42% coming from the interiors industry for textile waste, which obviously includes rugs, duvets, pillows, as well as, you know, just pure textiles, it's a huge wake-up call, I think. So when it came to Miri and I discussing starting this sustainability forum, we really felt passionately that, you know, it was actually a lot about raising awareness and education. And lots of people are worried about where to start. And I think it's quite easy because it's such a huge issue. It's quite easy to feel daunted about starting on that journey. And particularly people who I know who have lots of knowledge will say, oh, I don't know very much. And actually no one really knows a lot, particularly in our industry. You know, we're all learning, we're all trying to work it out. And those who don't know very much are amongst the masses. So again, that's why Miri and I felt really passionately about bringing everyone together, kind of saying, don't worry, nobody really knows because no one's worked it out. Nobody's nailed it. You can't even as an individual be 100% sustainable. It's not possible. As consumers, we're just continually taking in, and there's always going to be waste through that process, etc. So it's just more about doing better. So how can we do better? And part of what we believe doing better is by sharing our knowledge and sharing ideas, and actually coming together is where we can really drive change.
And you've only been going for a short time period as the Green Room so far, but are there any particularly interesting things you yourselves have learned from the interactions you've been having as being part of the Green Room?
I think the first thing that I would say was that when Jules and I first talked about this, we thought maybe let's see if there's a couple of brands that might want to meet in a pub for a drink and talk about this. And we thought it would be like a small group of us trying to kind of work together and collaborate. And, you know, here we are a few months later, we've got a team of ambassadors who are helping. We're very, very quick to say, can we help support what you're doing? Edward Bulmer, who has an incredible, you know, natural paint range, Jennifer Manners, who's an incredibly respected interiors designer and running her own business, and Roddy Clark, who is a presenter and consultant and journalist. So they were very much wanting to support this. And then I think the biggest thing has been, you know, seeing how many brands, you know, we've got over 35 brands that have all, you know, signed up to be part of this, and just the energy and enthusiasm that has come with that. People wanting to find out more, wanting to be part of a group that can collaborate, and hopefully, you know, all of us working together can mean that it's easier to kind of find out some of the solutions and solve the problems and discuss them in a very open way.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've always found in the sustainability space how amazing it is how much people are willing to share and learn from the journey that others have been on. You'll have two competitors who'll be like, oh, we did this with our boxes, you know, we did this with the supply chain. And they complete, whilst they wouldn't talk about many other topics together, they will talk about this. Jules, obviously you're running an e-commerce business. You're kind of the target market as well as one of the experts in the room for the Green Room. What are there any surprising learnings you've got from the experience so far?
Well, funny enough, you just saying that about competitiveness or being competitive brands. I think that's something that, you know, we place down that this is an area, you know, we're in a space where everything will not be passed on. But also, we're not here to compete. We're just here to share. And I think what is surprising is everyone really believes about that, because our end goal is the same, right? Our end goal is to leave our planet in a better place than we came to it. So I think the collaboration is hugely impressive. And I think lots of people have come away and felt really inspired. And it's not just brand owners, it's different people throughout brands that then feel confident because we give them the tools and goals, takeaways from each webinar so that they can filter it up or down throughout their organization. And we've just, as Miri mentioned, had a really positive response, and that has really surprised us.
So kind of like creating an army of change agents.
Yeah. I think also Jules was just saying that, you know, part of what we do with part of the organizational side of what we enable is a two kind of way solution. One is with online webinars. They're run quarterly so that people can join those, whoever they are within the brands that we're working with at different parts and different departments, they can join to have sessions. We were really keen that we wanted not just to have just general discussions, but to have webinars where people would present some of the things that they've been doing to inspire others, share their challenges and how it works. But equally, we'd also put the knowledge and education behind that so that at the end of every webinar, there's a deck that you can take back and share in your organization that really helps to kind of speed up the process to distribute this information amongst everybody in the wider group. So it doesn't just sit with an ESG person or a sustainability person. And the other key thing I think we feel, and which has been really surprising, is brands wanting and people wanting to actually meet up in person again. And, you know, the networking opportunities, the building those relationships that you can work together on this, and it's not competitive. And I feel really excited about that appetite for that that's come across of, you know, brands saying, use my showroom, use my space, have an event, because, you know, it is about actually meeting people in person as well. So, you know, having some really interesting discussions and debates.
I'd like that you're mixing up those kind of super practical webinars and giving everybody the tools to go away and make the changes together with the more serendipitous face-to-face events where things can come out of it. We've talked about how reducing material waste in the supply chain, you know, the remnants elements that George, you were talking about earlier. Are there any other areas that you've found the members of the Green Room have really picked up on as areas for improvements?
One of the really exciting things that we've learned, I think, is how the interiors industry has been historically quite fragmented. And there's been the luxury brands, and then there's been the high street brands. And there's been a lack of collaboration between the two. And what we're trying to achieve, and what's been really exciting seeing the Green Room, is how you can have some of the bigger high street brands working with the very small niche, sharing their information. So whether it's Dunelm talking about product circularity and sharing some of their knowledge to the wider brands, I think the inclusivity of the forum has taken away a lot of that, I call it kind of almost snobbery within the industry, so that it doesn't matter who or where you are, these topics are important and we need to share them.
Yeah, I think it's almost a great leveling field, the sustainability space, because, you know, trying to fix the supply chain is very similar from a tiny business to a big business. The changes you've got to make on a different scale, yes, more people involved, etc. But the same shifts have to be made. I find it to be, you know, you can see someone from a huge business learning a huge amount from a small business and vice versa. So love that you've been getting that from it, Mary. And Jules, how about you? Is there an element you found that's been particularly popular amongst them, the members of the Green Room?
Yes, I would say packaging seems to be a big one that comes up quite a lot. Particularly if you're an e-commerce owner like I am, you will be shipping out your products. And there's been some really interesting insights and sharing. A couple of people who are part of the Green Room are lighting specialists. And they talk about how they package up their lighting in a sustainable way that's going to be, it's made of glass, it's going to be shipped to America. And as anyone who has any fragile item knows, that's a real ball ache. And particularly to do it sustainably, we know very quickly about the plastic styrofoam options. But what are the environmentally friendly options, and also the price of them? I think luckily, because of the group that we've created, people are open to share costs, because that's a real, you know, stumbling block. If it's going to be cheaper for you to use plastic, styrofoam, you know, and if you're a small business particularly, you might not have the luxury of being able to choose. So it's working out the things that you can do that aren't going to put your business in jeopardy on a financial level.
I'd imagine that massively helps some of the brands work out, how can I convince the boss who's just going, it's going to be too expensive, it's too expensive. But if they can say, this person did it and it only cost this much more, or actually cost less, all of a sudden you've got that case study you can take back to them.
That's it. And particularly if it's somebody who is in your industry. Well, this other lighting company, we're a lighting company as well, this other lighting company managed to do this at this cost and they haven't had any problems. So actually in that way, it's a real benefit if there are people who sit in exactly the same space as you.
Only to add on the packaging thing, I think it's such an important area to be discussed. And I know one of the studies that I looked at or have been part of was when you look at reducing packaging, there can be a huge reduction in cost. You can improve the quality of packaging, but also if you're shipping from the other side of the world and you look at reviewing your packaging and reducing it in line with what you'd need to, there are cost savings along shipping, along, you know, how much space things take up in a container if you're managing to pack them better and smaller, but also, you know, into transport costs and also into your warehouse and what the kind of costs are there. So the packaging piece is a really interesting one, which may in some ways seem costly, but actually there are savings to be had if you can translate that all the way back down your value chain.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, we've learned lots in this episode already, but I love this section in particular because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So let's do the top tips. We're going to start with the book top tip. And the great news, everyone listening, is that Jules has a set of answers prepped, as does Miri. So you're going to get double the value in this set of top tips. Okay, so the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend? And I think for all of these, let's do Miri first and then we'll do Jules. So Miri, your book top tip, please.
My book top tip was a book that I've been given, actually, which I've read. And it's called Wilding and it's by Isabella Tree. And it's really important because the topic of biodiversity, I've realised, is a word that not many people understand what it means. It's not a top tip of a business self-help book or anything else, but learning about biodiversity and what it means from Isabella Tree, who has huge amounts of experience over the last decades in how to build the estate of NEP around a kind of with biodiversity in mind, is really inspirational and you learn a lot. So I would say everybody needs to understand about what biodiversity means, and read this book would be definitely worthwhile and very exciting.
And Jules?
So anyone who knows me knows that I'm not really a reader, but I try. Maybe actually that might resonate with listeners if listening to podcasts as well. My top book that I have loved recently is Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Particularly useful if anyone grew up in the 90s and might be an Arnie fan as well. But it is a really brilliant book about resilience, and the way that he has spit it out, it's very easy to include in your life and include to any part, whether you run your own business or you've just got a goal to do better in the gym or, you know, run a marathon, whatever it might be. I highly recommend it. It's an easy read. Get your highlighter out and your pen. That's another top tip I would say. Don't be afraid to write notes in your book. Just don't pass it on to anyone afterwards.
Business books and so, and, you know, kind of personal development books were made for being written all over. Totally get the highlighters and the pens out. The traffic top tip then, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves? Miri?
So obviously I've spent many years trialing multiple marketing tools to see what works. And my answer to this is probably not what you'd expect, but I think the strongest tool that I see at the moment is being in the same room as somebody and old style networking. So actually going back to where we came from. So, you know, how do you recommend brands to each other? How do you get people together to talk about things that they like? And I think that's a really powerful marketing tool, recommendations, networking, being together.
I'm glad you said that, given you are a big proponent of the green room right now. But it is, sometimes you have to open yourself up to the serendipity and the unknown unknowns. And I think one of the best ways of doing that is to go and hang out with your peers. Jules, then, your traffic top tip, please.
I'm a massive social media fan and always have been. I think a social media platform that gets a bad rap would be TikTok. I am a keen TikTok observer rather than taking part. But people are always quite surprised when I say that all of the main news channels are on there. So I follow all the news channels. There's the World Economic Forum. There's a lot of really great information. And if you're someone like me who is better to absorb information visually rather than actually reading it, I would highly recommend. And you can obviously curate it and you might get the annoying advert, but I think it's a great place to learn and also stay relevant.
Okay. And the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day? And Miri, will come to you first again on this one.
I would recommend something I've discovered in the last year called Slack. it's a great tool for communications and, you know, little kind of messages to one another in your team. And it has this really lovely huddle function. So you can, makes you feel really warm and cozy because you press a button and you can all talk together and for a kind of live kind of meeting. So yeah, I'd go with Slack.
Cool. And Jules?
I think I would go with Trello, which is an online task platform app. So you can create tasks for other people, invite them in. And so, yeah, it's just an online to-do list, but it's something that I use quite a lot. And I use it personally as well. There's an app that can go on your phone as well as a desktop version. And it's a really great way to organize projects and also constantly work out who's working on what, give people projects, get feedback, etc.
Nice. Two super popular tools there. So the carbon top tip, and I'm expecting good things here, ladies. No pressure. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store? Mira, you first.
So I got recently introduced to a really interesting, relatively new business called Klyk. And they are, you know, HelloKlyk, KLYK.com. And they are tackling e-waste. And their focus, their business, is on sustainable tech, so including, you know, refurbished hardware, which all helps to reduce your carbon footprint. And it also saves you money. They're also B Corp, and it feels like a real win-win. Save money, tackle your carbon footprint, and work with a really exciting, innovative new business.
Oh, nice. I've not come across them before. I will be checking them out very, very soon, possibly immediately after this recording. So thank you for that one, Mary. Jules, your carbon top tip, please.
Mine would be, it's a bit more general, but with the team, we try, if we want to instill a new habit, we will add it onto something. So in our team meetings, we now have part of that is where people can put forward things that we can do to lower our impact. So we, every week, will find something, make that change, and then we're able to move on to the next thing. So packaging would be finding a new supplier. So we work with a great supplier called Priory Direct, who are really passionate about lowering everyone's carbon that they work with. So again, come up with great packaging alternatives and detailed information on each piece so you can make a really informed decision about what's right for you.
I love both those bits. We've had Josh from Priory Direct on the podcast before. Great business. And of course, that part about it's so easy to forget to do sustainability. And whenever we have anyone on the show who is deep in it, they are always like, it's every decision we make. It's an element, it's constant. It's that constant rhythm of thinking about it. And that makes the business better and makes us better. Well, ladies, those have been brilliant. But before we say goodbye, me and the listeners want to know where we can find you and your businesses. Can you tell us where the audience can get in touch and join the green room if they want to get involved with what you guys are up to, please?
So I recommend that everyone hops on Instagram and looks up The Green Room UK. And you'll find information on what we're doing and some posts and also a way to contact us. So from there, you'll be able to be part of what we're doing.
Brilliant. There you go, everybody. Head over to Instagram and get in contact with them right now if you're in the home and garden sector. And then, Jules, I'll stick with you a second. Tell us a bit more about Hanes. If someone's going, I need new curtains, I want your fabric, how do they get in contact with you and the Hanes team?
Well, while you're on Instagram, you might want to look up Hanes_collection. That's Haines_collection. And every Monday night at 6:30, we post new products. So about 40 to 50 new items go up. So you'll want to set your alerts for there. But yeah, have a browse of our Instagram, DM us with any questions. And our website is hanescollection.co.uk, where you will find over 3,000 products. You can filter your fabrics by colour, length, etc. And you'll also find great DIY ideas and more products. So yeah, enjoy.
There we go, everybody. And finally, but by definitely not least, Miri, if someone wants your help to go on their sustainability journey, how do they get in contact with you and Be Able?
Yes, thank you, Chloe. You can either visit our website, which is beable.world. That's letter B and then able.world, or email me at mirichristie, MIRRY, Christie with an IE at beable.world.
Simple as that. Well, Miri and Jules, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about the Green Room and all the great stuff you're doing within that space and learning within that space. It's been great having you both here. So thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thanks so much, Chloe. It's been great.
Thank you, Chloe, for having us.
So loads of great advice in that episode. And I think whether you're in home and garden or not, all of that pretty much applies to you. But if you're in some of the sectors of our industry, you will find you and your competitors and the other people in there a lot further along on the sustainability journey. But it just goes to show, when there's a problem that needs solving, if you can get people together, all of a sudden a momentum even starts to build up around it. And it's quite phenomenal, the impact and the people who are getting involved in Miri and Jules's kind of community, the Green Room, even though they've only been going a couple of months. Absolutely phenomenal what they're already doing, because there is that appetite. It just took someone to make the difference. So you can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we've been mentioning, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct to episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode, you know the drill, into the URL bar, and you'll go straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you like this episode, then make sure you check out episode 426, which is where Miri was on talking about the sustainability journey she'd been going on with Oka Direct. So if you want to get deeper, go and listen to that one straight away. Okay. And if you want to know more about becoming more sustainable, then ecmp.info/B Corp will take you to all our episodes about being a B Corp and becoming a B Corp, which is kind of the pinnacle of sustainability. And if you want more on home and garden, then ecmp.info/home will take you to the home and garden episodes on the website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to sustainability. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.